Jaguars today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. And now, this date in football history.
All right, this date in football history brought to you by our friends, Dr. James McCall's Comprehensive and Cosmetic Dentistry and Foundation Professionals of Florida. Today in football history, 1965, Tony Smith, the National Football League, began using six officials during its football games. I'm presuming up from five previous to that. NFL currently uses seven officials for their football games. My pop quiz for you, Tony Smith, is requiring you to name the positions of the seven officials.
I'm not going to be
in a National Football League game. What do you got? Come on.
I know there's a head linesman.
There is a head linesman.
There's at least one back judge.
There is a back judge.
Side judge.
There's a side judge.
There's the... I don't know.
Who's the guy who used to line up right in the middle of the linebackers? Now I think he switched to the other side.
I don't know the
ball.
Names of any of the others. Yeah. I really don't.
All right, you got the referee.
Yeah.
Which is the head referee. You got the referee. You got the umpire. That's the guy I was talking about.
Okay.
Head linesman, line judge, field judge, side judge, back judge. There you go.
Your bunch of quiz. Judges.
A lot of judges. A couple of linesmen going on. That's what
umpires
you got.
Umpires belong in baseball.
And that's all I got unless something crazy happens up in Indy. Also, this date in football history, Jameis Winston weighed in at 231 pounds. That was earlier today. So there you have it.
2-3-1.
This state football history brought to you by Dr. McCall's Comprehensive and Cosmetic Dentistry on Gate Parkway. 620-9225, the number if you're in need of cosmetic work or if you just need a family dentist, maybe the SomnaMed Custom Fit Stop Snoring Mouth Guard, or visit jamesjmccall.com for a complete list of comprehensive care services. That is this date in football history.
Now, the Honda Drive Around the NFL, brought to you by your Jacksonville area Honda dealers.
Referee, just stay out of the way. That's what they should do. All right.
They helped pick get Doug Baldwin open.
That's what they did. Cleveland Browns, what was that, the umpire?
Don't know. It's one of them.
Back judge.
One of those seven. I don't think it was the headline thing.
Cleveland Browns head coach Mike Pettine said yesterday that they are approaching this offseason basically like they won't have Johnny Manziel next year and going forward, saying that they are evaluating their options at the quarterback position this offseason, which also makes it sound like Brian Hoyer is probably done in Cleveland as well. And I don't know if you caught this, but Colin Kaepernick. Remember yesterday when we were talking about...
I caught it.
You should laugh in the face of people when they talk about the Jags moving out of town, because it's beyond the realm of possibility in my mind right now. But that you get defensive about things that you feel like might be true.
Yes.
Well, pay attention to this story. Colin Kaepernick on Twitter yesterday tweeted out that 1,000 abs, arm workout, 10 minutes straight on the jump rope, 2-hour study session in February, that's what we call a recovery day. Now, Stephen Batten on Twitter responded, ab workout won't help find open receiver, hashtag study. All right. Colin Kaepernick gets back at Batman Returns. Are you illiterate or just ignorant? Read the tweet again. Better yet, give me your breakdown of every defensive coverage. I want every player's responsibility on every coverage. If you can't do it, mind your damn business, clown. This is what Colin Kaepernick responded with. Then 10 minutes later said, you got 8 followers, bruh. Your own family don't even want to know what you're doing. Get better at life. Holy cow.
Well, I don't know if your Twitter follower total has anything to do with whether or not you're good at life or not, okay?
I don't think it has anything to do with it.
However, some people do think that way. I think his criticism, particularly since he included, like, hey, I did all this workout and watched 2 hours of film, and this was like an off day, kind of. This is a recovery day. By the way, they're not allowed to be working with their coaches right now. You know, so the fact that here it is mid-February, sure. Colin Kaepernick's watching 2 hours of film, God bless him. That's pretty good, I think, on any given day at this time of year. And, you know, look, that's how fans are, man. But he came strong. There's no question about it. I don't think Colin Kaepernick really cares what the average person thinks about him. You know, I think he feels like he's been misrepresented because of the tattoos.
If he doesn't care what the average person thinks of him, then why respond to a dude with 8 followers?
All right, I got what you're saying. I guess the way I should have phrased it, he's not afraid to piss you off and maybe alienate you and say, you know, that there are going to be people, you're right. When this guy says something, if you didn't care, he shouldn't respond to it. That's a good point. But I think his reaction, he doesn't care how people take his reaction. I don't expect Colin Kaepernick to come in with some weak apology. Oh, I'm sorry for those of you who were offended by what I said.
No, I don't think that's going to happen.
No, I don't suspect it's going to happen.
No,
either.
We're not going to get the Kevin Durant moment.
Hey, you know? I've gotten into Twitter beefs with people too, and people are like, why, you know, sometimes it's easier to ignore people. Sometimes I'm like, well, why shouldn't I respond? You're going to make an ignorant statement to me. I'm going to throw it back in your face and try to show you exactly how ignorant I think you are.
Heck, we're having one of those guys in studio next week.
Do.
You blocked him.
I may block him again. I may block him today.
Hey, by the way, that guy went from 8 followers thanks to Kaepernick calling him out. He's now at 2,200.
Are you serious?
Yep.
Why would you follow him?
I don't understand it.
Awesome. Let's tweet to Colin Kaepernick.
Oh my gosh.
Should we have a contest?
Yeah, everyone take notes. All you got to do is heckle athletes into responding to you.
This, maybe that's it. Maybe we'll do, it won't be Colin Kaepernick specific. Maybe we'll do a contest, to troll your favorite Twitter follow.
It wasn't even that strong a response. You know, workout won't help you find open receiver, hashtag study. Like, that's not even, it's not even insulting, really, to me. Which is why I was kind of like, why is Colin Kaepernick responding?
It is very ignorant, though, and I can understand when he just said, I did all this work and I did 2 hours of film study on top of that.
I want to know what everyone's assignment is on every play. He doesn't play quarterback, Colin.
No.
He doesn't play the position.
Well, but
he's not supposed to.
That's how a lot of players feel, though, Tony.
He knows you're not doing your job as well as you should.
Tony, you didn't play the game. You can't rightly criticize. Kevin Durant, now Kevin Durant's all sorry. Oh, I'm sorry. I had a moment. I had a bad moment.
Bad day.
But basically, he was saying the same thing. Y'all don't know what you're talking about, basically, right? And, you know, it's been put many ways. You know, you don't have to be an architect to know what you like in a home, right? You don't have to be a chef to know what tastes good. There's a million different examples of it. And I'm sure these guys have criticized other people in other aspects of life as well that they're not, as proficient at. So whatever. It was pretty funny, though.
Get better at life.
You know that? No,
your whole family doesn't care.
You only have 8 followers. Get better at life. And because they do, man, they measure like that. Like, I've never trolled for Twitter followers. You want to follow me on Twitter? Fine. If you don't, fine. If you don't like what I tweet, don't follow me. It's quite easy. Don't follow me. I'm going to tweet what I want to tweet. And half it's going to be about fantasy football, half it's going to be about the Jags/the NFL, and there's probably, this goes over 100%, but about 5% of it is just stupidity, and maybe more. If you don't like it, don't follow. Simple answer, right?
I was just surprised at how defensive Colin came off.
He was very dumb, but in his, I think he was in the right. In the initial, I mean, he went too far with the follow-up stuff. You know, who cares how many your Twitter followers is a gauge of how successful you are in life. Hey, Colin, seriously.
No wonder Richard Sherman can get in your head, bro.
Right.
I mean, come on.
But the other part, when he just says, I spent 2 hours studying film, and then the guy's like, why don't you study some film instead of doing an ab workout? It's like, seriously, you're ignorant. And I kind of actually respect his initial reply to that guy. Let's get Nolan in here before we break. Ryan O'Halloran from the Florida Times Union coming up live from Indy in a couple of minutes. Nolan, how are you?
Hey, Mike, how you doing this morning?
We are good. What's going on?
Excellent. Listen, I had a comment and a question for you. My comment is, I'm going to use an analogy here. You know, the draft and free agency, I think you should approach it the way you would approach buying a car. You know, you don't want a car with mileage because who knows the problems that come down the road. It's no secret that the Jags could upgrade at running back, and it would be fun to bring in a guy like DeMarco Murray, but again, using a car analogy, you're probably worried that maybe there's some wear and tear there. What would you think about maybe the second round, if he's still there, going after a guy like Gordon?
At this point, I don't think he will be, but I think you got to consider it. If you really feel it now, I don't watch a film with Dave Caldwell. We don't know how Dave Caldwell feels about Melvin Gordon, but if his feeling about him seems to marry the consensus, Tony, that he's somewhere from mid to late first round value this year, then you shouldn't be shocked. And I'm typically with Nolan at that position particularly. Young legs, I get that. You don't want a car with mileage on it, but at the same time, it's not like every rookie who rolls in is just another brand new spanking model of a time-tested car. You got to look at them almost like experimental vehicles. Yeah, they might work out well. They might bomb completely. At least with the car with a little bit of mileage, you're like, well, I know this. I get this much per gallon. It runs pretty well. And yeah, I may have to change those tires sooner than I'd like to with one of these other guys, but I know this car's not going to completely fall apart around me as I drive it down the highway.
Some guys just last longer.
That's a hell of an analogy. Thank you very much.
But some guys just last longer. I mean, we're talking about Marshawn Lynch this offseason. I've been waiting for 3 years for that guy to slow down. I've been doing the same thing with Frank Gore. When is he going to slow down? And they draft Carlos Hyde last year, and Frank Gore just goes out and rushes for 1,200 yards. 5 yards a carry. He does what he does every single year since he put on that San Francisco uniform. There are some guys where, yeah, there's reasons to be nervous about how much use a guy has had, but that doesn't mean that you just go, let's just go get a young guy in the draft and he's going to be the answer to the problem. There's a reason that Marshawn Lynch and Gore and Murray are the guys that they are, and it's because they're proven commodities in this league. We know that you put them in an NFL system, they're going to be successful. We don't know what's going to happen with Gordon or any of these draft guys. It doesn't mean you avoid running back in the draft, but it also doesn't mean you avoid running back in free agency either. You evaluate where you think the player is, and then you make a determination from there based on how much you think it's worth to you, whether it be draft capital or money that you're going to spend in the offseason.
Everyone, by the way, please, you made brilliant points, but I just want to add this unrelated one. Please follow Duval_Doom so he gets over the 800 follower mark so he doesn't feel like such a loser at life. All right? Just having a good time with my man. Because he may lose me over the next week. I don't know. He's on double secret probation. Duval Doom's coming in as voice of the fan next Friday. We may institute that in the off season at periodic points. Tomorrow, by the way, David Garrard going to join us in studio. Former Jaguar quarterback. Good to have Dave back after a couple week hiatus. Coming up next, Ryan O'Halloran. Probably wondering why we haven't called him already. But he'll join us from Indianapolis Scouting Combine. And we'll get into more Jags-related stuff with him next on Jaguars Today, 1010XL, 92.5 FM. Yeah. Tony, according to weather.com, temperatures are rising right now.
Skyrocketing
into the low 40s. Love it. But sunny, and with the wind, it'll feel like mid-30s this afternoon.
You enjoy that.
I'm going to try to get 18 in today. I know I can get it in. I don't think I'm going to have much of a crowded golf course situation.
You'll be about by yourself. That'd be my guess.
Love it. Love it, baby. Not a drop of rain in sight. Let's go up to Indianapolis where it's still bitter cold. Speaking of bitter, here's Ryan O'Halloran, the Florida Times Union. Ah, I'm kidding, Ryan. How are you, buddy? What's going on?
Usually I'm better.
I know you are.
It's up to 1 degree, by the way. It's up from 0 to 1 since we talked to Ozzy.
It's 1 degree in Indianapolis this morning.
Well, I turned on the TV this morning at 7:15, and it said -5.
Nice.
That's cold. And it was cold, but yeah. But we're inside. So
that's right. It makes you happy because it gives you something to talk / complain about. And, you know, we can all commiserate with you. Hey, read your item in the TU this morning about Brandon Linder. And it had been speculated that maybe they, you know, in trying to improve the offensive line, maybe the Jags would go for some interior guys and maybe move Linder around because he seems to have the ability. He did it a little bit in college, maybe play right tackle. Dave Caldwell seemed to shut that down when you asked him about it the other day.
Actually, I talked to Gus about it last night. You know, they're looking at all these potential options. They want to create competition at right tackle. Linder's not going to be a part of that. And as something we talked about on the show last week is, one thing a team has to weigh is, okay, if they want to improve position A, do they potentially risk making position B weaker by moving that guy along? So I think from the Jaguars' perspective, it's a smart move. The second-year guy, they probably don't want to upset that card just yet, so keep him there and, you know, bring in a couple guys or one guy and try to find still that right tackle spot.
With that being said, obviously they don't want to move Linder around, which makes sense. He played really well at right guard last year for this team as a rookie. What do you think they're looking at in free agency? I know Doug Free is a free agent right now from Dallas, so they could go sign him today if they wanted to. They have to wait on guys like Bulaga. What do you think the plan is this offseason with that right tackle spot?
My guess right now is either one of two things, or maybe both. The first one is they're going to sign a veteran who 95% of the people in this league that follow this haven't heard of, who has four or five starts, played a couple hundred snaps in his career, just to get a body in. You're a little more established than the Brandon Williams guy they signed last week. The second option is they have like fifth or sixth or seventh round pick and pick a guy and make it a three-person battle in camp with Pastor. So, yeah, I think that's the more likely thing. You know, would they allocate a lot of money at that spot? I think they would probably be better off doing that at other positions, at least this offseason.
What else did you glean from talking with Gus Bradley? I know he is going to address the media widespread coming up in 35 minutes, but what other nuggets did you pull out of him?
Well, a couple things is pre-agency obviously come up. He said because of the staff changes on offense, they've had to rejigger their schedule. Usually they meet offense and defense the same day. Well, this year they've been meeting all defense. Dave Collins, hey, let's give the new staff an extra week. So they're not really going to dive in off into free agency until after they get back from Indy, which not exactly a time crunch, but it just sort of maybe there's a bigger sense of urgency. The other thing is one thing Gus brought up several times, they got to get more production out of that auto linebacker spot. He thinks the struggles there impacted the rest of the defense with the ripple effect, how they use Cyprian, how they're able to not get a pass rush on third down. So it's interesting to see what they do there. So. And then the big thing, since we talked about it a little bit, Paul Posluszny, right now Gus Bradley thinks he's still a three-down linebacker in this league and for this team in general, right, in particular. So, you know, you've been some speculation. He's always going to be back as a starter, but the fact that they are committed to him as a three-down guy, at least right now, a little surprised because I think they maybe want to get a little more athletic on third down.
Talking about that auto spot, I know JT Thomas is a free agent, so maybe they're looking to bring him back. Geno Hayes, I don't know what the plan is with that guy as well. But the talk for the last week or so has been Dante Fowler and how much he is rising up draft boards. He seems like he would be a fit for this team in kind of that auto slot. Does that make you think that maybe they are taking a closer look at him than maybe Randy Gregory and Shane Ray, those types of pass rushers on the outside?
Well, maybe not so much Fowler, but what I asked Gus this, and I'll get into this in tomorrow's paper, is, okay, first of all, he said, okay, first of all, the auto's coming back. That's going to be a position. I said, so what are you changing for? And he said, whereas last year they were looking for a pass rush guy who could play some linebacker, this year they're looking for a linebacker guy who could do some pass rush. Okay, does that who does that eliminate? Definitely eliminates Gregory, I think. You know, is Shane Ray more of a pass rusher at this point? You know, do they think Fowler can move, can run backwards and cover? So, you know, you have to reset your sight a little bit on what is the auto mean for this Jaguar team right now. Now, who knows? Is it more of a linebacker than a Leo?
Yeah, as far as the auto goes, yeah, but I mean, wouldn't, if you're drafting Randy Gregory, wouldn't you see him more as a Leo type guy anyway, Ryan, at 6'6", 200
and whatever? I would even have Randy Gregory on my board.
Why?
Because of the injuries.
Okay.
And
if you're drafting that type of player.
But my thing is, and I'm referring to Tony's question, but the third overall pick is, I don't see them drafting an outside linebacker at number three. So does that mean you want Dante Fowler? You know, what's he going to weigh in at? You know, do you want him to be strictly a defensive end? Add weight, or so. I mean, I think this opens up more conversations for what they want to do with that pick.
No, it definitely does, especially again talking about that auto position. It's interesting. It almost, did you get the sense at all that it was, this is kind of what's available to us too? It's easier to find a guy that can play linebacker more so than can be a pass rusher from that kind of position at this point in the league.
Yeah, because, and the one thing I followed up on is, okay, you know, I could probably count on two hands how many times they used that guy to pass rush last year. But because they never blitzed, they never did a lot of zone stuff where they dropped the line in the back. So, I mean, to me, it seems like they're still trying to formulate what they want to do there. Because, you know, the cynic in me says they're still guessing. But I'm sure they have some kind of idea.
Whether it's Jaguar related or not, what's the buzz been about? Has it been, you know, Mariota Winston talk as to whether or not they're going to throw? What, you know, just talking with your colleagues up there, what has been the topics of conversation over the last 24 hours?
Well, it's weird because there were very few players brought in. I talked yesterday. There's only some linemen. Today's a quarterback receiver day. So one of the main topics with coaches and GMs is the very deep running back class. Does that mean we're going to have another year without a first round running back? People are just going to wait? Or they're going to say, hey, these guys are better than previous years and they're going to go get one in the team. The second thing is, a lot of GMs are saying this is another strong wide receiver class, not as strong as last year. So when is that run on receivers going to be? Is it going to be late first, middle first, or is it going to be the second round for the Jaguars that benefited last year?
What's kind of the – I know we had the opportunity to talk to John Osher earlier today, and really the national media gets a chance to talk to a guy like Gus Bradley today, have for the last couple of years. What's the buzz like in the building around a guy like that? I mean, we know how much we like being around Gus and his personality from just the national media guys you talk to. What is the opinion of Gus Bradley, especially on days like today where they get their chance to go talk to him?
Well, the questions I'm getting the last 2 days about the Jaguars and Gus is, how many games does he need to win this year to be here next year in 2016? And then the second theory is, well, looks like they made the right choice and get Bortles as opposed to maybe risking a pick on one of these two guys. So they see the right decision made on Bortles, but also, hey, they also see Gus Bradley 7 wins 2 years ago in his third year. He can be the greatest guy ever. Players can love you as much as they want. You got to win in that third year.
Yeah, you sit here, and I remember the talk is, we've been talking about this really for a couple of years, particularly with Winston, Ryan, but there were some Jag fans last year that said, hey, let's not reach for a guy here. Let's wait till next year, and you have your shot at Winston potentially. Well, which is silly. There's only one of him.
You had fans with signs in the stadium that Thursday night game.
I know. In this case, Ryan, I mean, there's a very good chance that if you were in the market for a quarterback, if the Jags had not found Blake Bortles or gone that route last year and none of those other guys made it to them in the second round, who knows? Maybe they would have taken Derek Carr and it would have been a completely different history here. But, you'd be sitting there right now if you needed a quarterback and you're sitting at three kind of at the whim of the Tennessee Titans. They're not going to do anything that makes it easy for you to fulfill what you need. So, just the mere fact of the way it's played out and where they ended up, you couldn't predict how many wins they'd get. You know, if Henny had helmed them, they might have had the exact same record if he had played the whole year. So, I think from that standpoint, they, took the guy they needed to take at the time they needed to take him. You can't play that what's coming in next year's draft game that much, can you?
You can, especially from the fact that they won 4 games and, even if they would have won 5 games, let's say they would have won 5 or 6 games this year and they needed a quarterback, they wouldn't have been in a position to get one or even trade up to get one. So,
right.
They were a little proactive, and I think it was the right call.
All right, Ryan O'Halloran, what are we going to see from you in the digital pages and the printed pages of the Times Union over the next couple days?
I'm trying to figure that out. Obviously some Winston stuff, Fowler, the running backs coming in, we'll sort of talk to them, but Gus talks today at noon, Dave Caldwell tomorrow at noon, so we see what we can glean from them and, fill the paper that way.
All right, sounds good, man. We'll talk to you soon. Thanks for the update, and stay warm up there in Indy, okay?
Okay, fellas, thanks.
All right, buddy, we'll see you. Ryan O'Halloran, at Ryan O'Halloran on Twitter from the Florida Times Union. A couple of quick notes before we take a time out here, Tony. We've got some size. How much bigger is Todd Gurley than Melvin Gordon? What do you think?
Todd Gurley than Melvin Gordon?
Yeah.
My guess is Todd Gurley is something around 6'2", 220. Gordon, maybe an inch or two shorter, 195, 200.
They weigh in today. Both 6'5", Gurley is 222, Gordon's 215.
Okay.
7 pounds. They carry it different, don't they?
They do.
I mean, Gurley looks like a freaking massive beast who fills up your TV screen. By the way, TJ Yeldon of Alabama came in at 6'1 and 2/8, 226. Duke Johnson of Miami, 5'9, 207. If you can play. 5'9, 207 is not too small to play in the National Football League. In fact, it sometimes is preferable. You're a little bit quicker. Le'Veon Bell had such a good year last year. He spent the offseason getting trimmer. Last year with the Pittsburgh Steelers. Also, Lewis Riddick of ESPN tweeted out, Marcus Mariota. Absolutely killing it in the combine interview process, Tony. He was told he is as or more impressive than Russell Wilson was, which is significant. That is Riddick's emphasis.
Didn't we all kind of know he was going to be that way?
But first
of all,
he's
kind of a CEO. That's what he comes off as.
Yeah, Riddick is not sitting in on any of these interviews. He's being told this by people. And if I put it this way, if I'm Tennessee and I'm not interested, or if I'm Jacksonville, right? I'm telling everybody, man, that Mariota is the most impressive dude in the world.
Yeah.
This guy's unbelievable. Wish we hadn't drafted a quarterback last year. Holy smokes. Maybe we'll draft another one. You know, keep talking him up, as far as that goes. 9 7/8 hand size for Mariota. Don't know what that means. I mean, I know what it means. It means his hands are from, I guess, the base of his hand to the tip of his middle finger. Or, no, it's thumb to pinky. Is that how they do it?
Yes.
Thumb to pinky, right? 9 7/8 inches. I don't know how that compares to other quarterbacks. Does he need a deflated football? That's really the only question you need to ask.
Ben Roethlisberger was 10. I just looked at it.
Oh, well, how's he going to expect to win two Super Bowls at 9 7/8? Can't get the job done like that, Tony. We've got the fan feedback spotlight combine on TV. How much you're going to take in? We'll get to that coming up next on Jaguars Today. 1010XL, 92.5 FM. So you know, as you probably could have figured out, all mispronunciations are my own. Not to be held responsible are the Jacksonville Jaguars or 1010XL or Tony Smith.
What'd you mispronounce?
Unless I pass away. I'm setting up a possible mispronunciation, okay? Mike Tishone. I think that's how I pronounce his last name. At MJ Tishone on Twitter. Debuted his Jaguars Today co-host power ranking just moments ago on Twitter, which is nice to see, because the Jag Twitter aficionados out there are getting excited about the appearance of one Duval Doom.
Yes, they are.
Should I call it the tentative appearance of Duval Doom? He's got 8 days to say I'm a good side still. Now, he'll be here next Friday. Voice of the fan, he is, Duval Doom. But here are the power rankings. How do you want them? You want them from 5 to 1, 5, or you want 1 to 5?
1 to 5.
1 to 5. Well, number one is the Ozone. Ozer getting a lot of love this morning.
There you go.
Let me just say, I love them all, Tony, in my own way. All right. Number two, David Garrard for Mike. Number three, Lagerman. Number four, well, let's just put it this way. Ryan O'Halloran made the top five. Okay, coming in at number five. Number four, however, was anyone at number four. So I suppose Mark Long's upset because he doesn't get his own individual vote. But Mark Long, Alfie Crow, Richard Miller, Warren Brooks, Donovan Darius. Who can I think? I'm sure I'm missing
Tom
someone.
McManus. Maybe?
Tom McManus. McManus, I got to say, for the one-timers, McManus was very strong a few weeks ago.
He was.
On Jaguars Today. And I've had several requests from folks across the pond, primarily Christopoulos over there, who wants McManus back post-haste. But I guess that's good. Rhino made his top five. That's the way we'll look on the bright side.
Top five, baby.
Top five. Although the fourth spot is a broad one. Anyone in there. So you can maybe, you know what? Not this week, but this could be a Friday top five in the near future. Right? Right. Not only co-hosts, but just guests, whatever, who you want to hear. Maybe that'll be it. Maybe we'll do that. Be less offensive. I think we kind of know how the rankings are going to go. But weigh in on anything you like as far as that goes. But the top five tomorrow, tentatively, I got this one suggested to me on Twitter as well earlier today. I'm trying to scroll down and remember who that was who suggested it. I'll give him full credit tomorrow if I use this. But I'm thinking we're going with top five worst draft selections all time by the Jacksonville Jaguars. There are some beauties, some doozies to choose from. So David Garrard in studio tomorrow. We'll go back out to Indy. Everyone's favorite, apparently, co-host John Osier will hopefully join us if he's available now tomorrow.
Right.
His Twitter profile is blowing up. Today, the Tom Bush family of automobile dealerships, Tony, asking Jag fans what drives them every day. We asked how much of your precious time will you spend watching this NFL Combine?
Here's what we got from Paolo. He said, I know the Jags are not getting one, but definitely catching the quarterback workouts from at Irish Jaguar. Depends on how boring work is. From Richard, we got all of it. Hashtag life of a football junkie. Hashtag thank you DVR. From Duval Doom, probably an hour or two over the weekend. From Welp, we got Zed, Zero, not interested in watching cone drills, ultimate snooze fest. From Paul, just the big jiggly guys running the 40. Hashtag big bone. From Harold, same as every year. I tell myself none of it, but it somehow ends up being on my TV the whole weekend. And from Brandon, whatever isn't on during the 500, as a Florida fan, he wants to see what Fowler and Ball will do.
I want to remind you, by the way, if you're planning on watching the 500, have a little something on the line. Have a little rooting interest above what you normally do. Or if you're a, you know, a Earnhardt diehard, whatever, you can pick Earnhardt on your fantasy team. Fantasy NASCAR League is open on Yahoo. Getting close to full for the first league. I saw Fat Tony made the list.
Yeah, I'm in there.
This morning.
I'm committed.
He may have joined the list. What are the odds Joe Fortunato plays fantasy NASCAR with us this year? I'm thinking low.
Probably low.
He'll probably play fantasy spring training baseball before he'd play fantasy NASCAR, the Philly fanatic that he is. But if you go to Yahoo, if you have a Yahoo, you have to have a Yahoo profile. It's free to set it up. You want to search for NASCAR Fantasy League number 11561. 11561. The password's 1010XL. It's free to play because the prizes that you get are a hearty congratulatory slap on the back, and you don't even get it in person. So if you want to play fantasy NASCAR, I enjoy it. It's a lot of fun. Gives you something to do to kill the time in the off season for football. Again, 11561, the Yahoo NASCAR League. Password's 1010XL. When it fills up, when it hits 50, I'll open up a new one, and you're not going to fall behind as long as you get in by the checkered flag dropping on the start of the Daytona 500. Coming up this weekend. Let me see what I got here on Facebook. Most of it was I'm either going to watch every bit or I'm not going to watch a single bit. And there was a lot more of the latter. I'm not going to watch any of this. I got zip, hashtag boring. I got none, most boring television ever. I got another none. And I won't be watching this one from Dustin Smith. I won't be watching just like the Jaguars front office.
Boom!
Sick burn.
Burn, baby!
Doesn't that hurt? They're not going to spend any money anyway. They're not going to get any good players. Whatever. All right, whatever. Hey, that's your prerogative. I asked, you answered, and that's just fine.
Yeah, I'm kind of in the middle on it, honestly. Like, I'll probably be at some point sitting at home tomorrow, and I may think about, oh, yeah, the combine's on. Like, it's not something that I sit down to watch, but if there's nothing else going on, I'll be like, all right, I'll turn it on for a couple minutes.
Yeah,
I don't sit and stay.
I watch the result. Like, I will check in.
I read a lot.
Me too.
Right.
And I'll go back.
I have three or four guys that I like to go see what they're reacting to or whatever they've heard.
And if I don't watch it, I may go watch the quarterbacks. I may go watch the video of the quarterbacks throwing.
Right.
Particularly when you got the high-profile guys, if they throw. But beyond that, I don't need to see you run the 40. As long as I know what the number is.
I need to know what the number
is. For comparison's sake. Speaking of numbers, Ian Rappaport says that Randy Gregory, mm-hmm. who is off Ryan O'Halloran's personal draft board, by the way. Keep in mind, so is Khalil Mack because he did not go to a big enough school last year.
To Buffalo.
Randy Gregory, he's off Ryan's board because of injury concerns. Ian Rappaport says he may post the highest Wonderlic score of any player at his position. Well, then again, he may not, right? And he also said that his practice tests have been off the charts. I don't know if that's... Is that practice Wonderlic tests?
Right.
Or
why are... What? What?
So what?
Right.
Okay, it's not... Hey, look, it's better to be smart than dumb.
Right. I appreciate an intelligent football player. I appreciate
an intelligent person.
Right,
didn't Blaine Gabbert get a really high Wonderlic score?
I don't know. Who cares?
I'm sure. Look, plenty
quarterbacks
of
quarterbacks. I care about more.
Most quarterbacks do get
defensive
high,
end,
but not all.
Whatever.
Dan Marino didn't
go
exactly.
Hit the guy. You see the guy with the ball, hit him.
Dan Marino, I think, got 1 point for every letter in the word isotoner. If I'm not mistaken, didn't he get like an 8 on the Wonderlic? Didn't he?
That was before the concussions.
I know. Here's some questions. Robert Klemko of Monday Morning Quarterback wrote an article with some of the actual combine questions that have been asked in the last couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
If you could be any animal of the jungle, what would you be?
A tiger.
Jaguar. Well, exactly. Thank you, Tyler. If you're depends on who's asking, right?
Tiger.
I could be a Bengal Tiger, right? I could be a Detroit Lion. I could be a Jacksonville
Jaguar. No, I could
Jaguar.
Be a lot of things, but I think the tiger is the coolest animal.
All right, well, that's fine.
Yeah.
But it's not necessarily the best answer in that scenario.
But I'm an honest man.
Tony, in 5 minutes, can you name, or it says in 5 minutes, name all the things you can do with a brick. You really going to take up 5 full minutes on this? Paperweight.
I'd be so bored.
Smash and grab. Right, is that maybe
yeah,
that's
they
what
like
they're looking
seeing
for?
That on.
Right, like smash and grab.
What criminal? How many criminal things you actually list?
Out of beer money. convenience stores closed at 2 a.m.
Right.
I got this. Got my brick. What kind of brick are we talking about here?
I did hear the other day about some team that would actually put on their test that they would give the players as they came in for their interview. They would put something along the lines of, if your mother stole something. And you knew she was never going to get caught. Would you say something to somebody about
it? Is this Jeff Ireland asking or
I do not know.
Because I'm not sure.
I do not know.
Where this
but they
is
would
going.
Ask that question. And then later on in the exam, they would ask the same question. They would just reword it to see if you gave the same answer. It would be like, if you knew no one would ever know, would you rat on your mom?
No.
Right.
The answer would be no
right.
to that one.
Absolutely, that's the answer.
Right. And that's the true answer.
But they just want to see if asking the same question two different ways confuses a player into a different answer.
My mom, God rest her soul, was a saint who would never, truly, would never steal any. I mean, she's the sweetest lady
ever met.
My
mom would turn herself in.
My mom would never do these things. But if my mom could murder you, and I would not turn
right.
her in. Okay.
If my mom, like, you know, the beginning of My Cousin Vinny, where the guy accidentally takes the tuna and he thinks that's what he's being arrested for.
Yes.
Right. If that was my mom, she would turn around and drive back to pay for that can of
my
tuna.
Mom is the same way. We got this. It's not on the receipt because my mom was always checking receipts, man. Did they overcharge me? And then when she'd find an item and she'd the same next, she wouldn't go immediately because she never drove a day in her life, by the way. Never drove a car a day in her life. But she would wait till the next time someone took her to the grocery store and she would return that can of tuna. And I would not turn my mom in for anything. Tony, if you fill a swimming pool full of tennis balls, how many tennis balls would fit in the pool?
Oh, my God.
Don't I need to know how big a pool are we talking
right.
about, buddy? Right?
More than five.
How many cubic feet of water are we talking about here, pal?
More than five and less than 3 billion. Somewhere in that range.
How many tennis balls do you think could fit in 1 cubic foot? I would say 3, 3, 4 times. You get about, 16 times 4? I'm going to say like 64 tennis balls. Is that too many? Because I'm thinking, a tennis ball is like 3 inches wide, right?
My guess was somewhere between 50 and 60.
You could put 4 tennis balls across. You got 4 by 4 on the bottom level, and that's about 3 inches high of tennis balls, and that's a dozen, and you could stack. So a 48. 48's the answer is what I'm going with. Okay? So that's 1 cubic foot. So I need to know how many cubic feet are in your pool, and I'm going
to
multiply it times 48, pal. And then I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to take that brick, all right, smash your head in for asking me stupid questions. That's one thing I could do with it.
Those are ridiculous questions.
Bryce Petty will throw at the combine, according to Ian Rappaport.
Okay.
Good for him. And those guys should. I agree. I don't think
he's had some medical stuff with his back that's going to get checked out this week, too. It's really important for him.
If Jameis Winston doesn't throw, I don't think it'll affect his draft stock one iota.